Band Leaders for Leaders Married Dad comes out in the next few weeks throughout the world. Can you tell us a bit more about the concept and ideas behind this album?
Actually, the release will be in exactly 10 days, and in 10 days also the first leg of our European tour is starting. And yeah, we've been pretty much busy with the record like the whole last year. I mean, we also did live shows and tours, but in between everything was focused on the recording studio where we did everything. And on the music side, it was the idea to make everything really handmade and a very warm and natural sound. And instead of just focusing on epic sounds, also focusing on single instruments. So on our last record, you had like banging like 150 tracks at one time, almost all record. So this time you hear guitar solos, melody lines much better. Maybe also a lot of ancient strings, ancient instruments like a Scandinavian old instrument called the nickel harpa. You hear Ilian pipes and flutes and whistles. So it's all very natural sound. I think it's pretty much in a very good balance altogether with the rock sound and all these instruments and also the epic power elements. For the text and lyrical side, it's a very, also an ancient and folky inspired concept. Liv is singing a lot of stuff in Old English and Old Norwegian. And you also hear some traditionals from Norway, like Kråkevisa or Nystef. So you could say it's also a bit maybe focused in vocal and oriented stuff. I don't mean folk like other metal bands are often doing it. I mean folk more in a way that like it's pretty much the structure of the songs is a bit folk oriented, and folk oriented in the way that it's very focused on the melody lines, like you hear it in ancient music very often. Yeah, that's pretty much maybe what we had in mind for the record.
And what made you, you know, go back to this more organic sound versus taking advantage of all the production that you could have used like you did on the last album?
Yeah, I think the last album was in terms of when it comes to how big you can make a record in the way like how many tracks are involved. It was maybe like the Rain in Blood of how many tracks you can use. If you just start with the opening of the Njord record, it's incredible when the choir is starting and the band and the whole orchestra. I mean, there was involved also a whole orchestra. So we knew we cannot go further on that side. So we said we want to go a different way. And what I felt was like some songs of the Njord record sounded to me better in a live situation than on the record, like Ragnarok or Foya's Theme. And then we said like, okay, maybe on the Njord record there wasn't enough focus also on the band. And what I feel is there's more dynamics also in the music now than on the Njord records, while Njord was just like a complete blast. So yeah, maybe that's the experience to hear how the live situation was with the Njord songs and on records. So we had something in mind to make it more organic and more dynamic.
And in terms of the new band members, you guys got two new band members in 2010. How much input did they provide us for this new album?
Yeah, of course they had also an input on this record. Sander's first show. He's a new guitar player since 2010. Was pretty cool. He played his first show in Moscow, both bands, Atrocity and Lee's Eye. So he had to do like 25 songs in a row. was a pretty good test. And it's the same with Roland, who's now drumming for our band. Sander did a lot of the melodic melodies. He's a very melodic guitar player. While I tend to be, I mean, a bit technical maybe, but also very rock and blues oriented. He's more the melodic guy. You can hear that in the solos, like Sandro's style is like on the songs Etain, where he's soloing. While I'm more like a bit blues oriented, like on Velvet Heart or Sigalin. So that's maybe a bit of difference, which I think makes it also interesting. Roland also did a lot of stuff. Everything that you hear, like that sounds like a loop, is also created in a natural way. You hear, for example, like some small stuff in the quiet parts. All Roland doing like moving fingers on the snare or whatever. Even the sounds that sound like a loop were actually handmade.
And what part of this, you know, I mean, a lot of bands, like, I mean, like, these little details, they just kind of, like, you know, copy-paste and they're done. What prompted you guys to, you know, want to have this desire of, you know, achieving everything by hand, that much effort into it?
Yeah. I think, I mean, we're also having a record studio, and I know about the advantages of working with the great programs, of course, but if you make yourself a slave of these programs, then you can also kill music and you take out the soul. Nowadays, it's like no record is sounding anymore really shitty, like it used to be maybe in the 80s. You had really very bad-sounding records. But it's like you hear a record and you hear the first song, and when you heard the first song, everything sounds the same. And for me, it's like I love a lot of stuff from the 70s, like old Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, all that stuff. And so we try to not cut anything, but play everything as long as possible. I mean, we didn't play live. You cannot say we played everything live, because that wouldn't have been possible with the numbers, the huge number of people involved in this. But we tried to hand make everything. We didn't use like much computer stuff or editing and all this shit, and not cutting it and not copy pasting it, but making it sound like. And I think that's better. I think I prefer to hear mistakes on the records than just copy paste stuff. I think that's better. I mean, it depends on which sound you want. You can also use, of course, like cutting. It makes it a more like a cold and a very steady feeling, but if you want a warm sound and it should be like sound dynamic, I think it's much better to do it that way.
And in terms of, you know, the evolution of the band sound, how comfortable you are with it now? I mean, the band's been experimenting with this and that. This album sounds a little bit more concise in the sense that it sounds like Leap Size, but still has, you know, some elements that are improved. How comfortable are you guys with the actual sound now?
I'm very happy with the outtake of the record. I think, especially here in Europe, there was like a kind of crisis for female sounding bands. And in my opinion, I mean, it's just my opinion, there were also bands that were not like super duper, in my opinion. And that's why we tried to make it sound different. It's not like, if you hear the record, you cannot say, ah, there are 10 or 20 other bands that do it the same way. No, I think you can say, I like the record, or I don't like it, but I think you have to admit it's the way that, this is a characteristic for Leaf's Eyes. I think that's what we wanted. We don't want to be liked by everybody, but it's just the way we are going, and the way we have to go is not like sound another, trying to progress and develop the sound of Leaf's Eyes. I think that's our job, and so we are happy, very happy with the record.
And how much further do you guys think you want to take the band sound, and where exactly do you think that it's, you want to shift to or keep incorporating?
Phew, that's not so easy. I mean, Lovelorn was a very atmospheric and emotional and romantic record. Yours was maybe like a blast, like trying to make it really heavy and as epic as possible. So this new record is maybe going a bit further and trying to be more soulful and trying to have a very human sound. So I don't know how it will be. I mean, now it will be a lot of live shows coming up worldwide, and then we'll see how our musical taste is and what we are excited about to do in the next albums. I mean, what I love about this record is, for me, I love playing string instruments, like also Arabic string instruments, Indian string instruments, and I got to use my mandolin. That's pretty nice, finally. And also a lot of strange tunings. Even if it's not like ancient instruments, we experimented a lot with strange tunings to make it sound like ancient instruments. When you hear like songs like the start of Sigalin, the strings, the string guitars, or like Telltale Eyes, or the bonus track Soliot, it's all tunings to make it sound a bit different. And I like that very much.
Yeah, how much of this thing do you think they're going to, and how well are they going to translate into live setting now that you guys are going to start touring?
Yeah. There are some difficulties to handle it. We have, for example, very often the combination of acoustic guitars and electric guitars. For example, in Kroke Visa, you hear the ending almost sounds like a black metal folk part. You hear the guitar like strumming, and the acoustic guitar is strumming as well, giving a percussion kind of sound. So we have to think about, and that's what we are rehearsing right now, just before the tour these days, how we can move it into and transform it into the live situation, which is not that easy, but we will try to do as much as possible live way.
And having such a rich and collection of songs from all your previous albums, how do you guys balance and pick the perfect, you know, playlist for each night?
That's a very good question. I remember our first show. It was at a huge festival in Germany, and that was very easy. The people said, okay, you can play Wave Gothic Festival here, and you have 1 hour. And then we said, oh, that's very easy. We just play the record Lovelorn. It's 1 hour. And now it's getting more and more difficult with every new record. I think there will be a big focus on the new album, but we will also play, of course, songs from the other records. For the last 2 years, the focus was, of course, on the Njord album, and now it will be on the Meredith record. And also some older songs will come back into the live set, at least when we have the chance to play like 90 minutes. It's very cool. And there's also the mixture that we have like very long songs, like Foya's Theme or Sigurlin, and also very straight songs, like Take the Devil in Me, Velvet Heart. So that's also pretty cool, and very quiet songs as well. So I think it's pretty nice to have dynamics and different atmospheres in the live set. So I'm looking forward for that very much.
And in terms of touring, we see that you guys are fairly booked for Europe. Are there any plans for North America?
Yeah. So first, you're right, we're starting off with some headlining shows, and then we go on tour together with Tarja Turunen, ex-singer from Nightwish. Then we will do some new festivals, and then, hopefully, it's scheduled right now, we will come back to North America and South America. I'm pretty sure that this will happen this year still. And there's also offers from Asia, and other countries worldwide, so we will be very busy the next 1.5 years, I guess.
And how do you find that the touring is for you guys in the States, where, you know, you have smaller venues, and it's a completely different animal compared to Europe?
We love touring in the States. I mean, with every record, we have been touring in the States, and you are right, it's different. I mean, let's keep it that way. In some clubs on our first tour, it was really like not a very great experience, or it was different, let's say that way. I don't want to say anything negative, but in the better venues, I mean, you have so great venues, that's really a difference to Europe. The European venues are often former industry, a factory kind of venues, and you have all these great House of Blues venues that were just made for blues and rock music. I mean, that's so fantastic. We don't have that here in Europe, I must admit. So it's really great to play in these kind of venues. And also, like, when I tell my friends here that have never played in the States something like House of Blues in Orlando, they don't believe it when I say, yeah, we played in the middle of Disney World in House of Blues Orlando. They cannot believe it. So, yeah, it's really great. We always like to be in the States, and we have a lot of fans also. I mean, it depends on what you say, a lot of, but for example, Vinland Saga sold a lot of records, especially in the States. So I think it's a very good place for our band to be there.
And are you guys going to be doing just Leaves Eyes, or you're trying to sneak in Atrocity in between, you know, some of the dates and stuff?
Yeah, we did actually on our first tour. We did some double shows, and we still do it here and then. But usually we try to avoid it, because it's just different stuff, and it's also pretty demanding to play two shows in a row. We did that a headlining tour 4 weeks through Europe, like with both bands, full set. I think I lost like 8 kilos or something, especially in the club shows where it's really hot and you're sweating like hell. It's like pretty demanding. And I like it more to focus on one band. So it has its own style, and their own songs and records and albums, and they demand like full attention and full energy. And sometimes I'm afraid if we do double shows, it maybe you cannot go like 100%. Of course, you can say it's nice like playing two times in a row, but I think in the future we will more concentrate on each band. Right now, Leaves Eyes is definitely the focus.
And what are you most looking forward to being back on the road? Like, the band's been in and out pretty much the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, the best part is like traveling, seeing other countries, meeting people, having fun. I mean, it's great. I mean, what can you ask more for? You're like driving in the bus and waiting a lot, and you're having ugly sound checks, and sometimes there are no showers, but it's all okay as long as you get to travel. And I think a band is only alive if it's really also going on tour. If you're bringing out records and you're not playing many shows, I think then it's something missing. There are so many bands that can bring out albums, but they suck in a live situation. So I think it's still like you have to prove that you're really a band, and you can do that by playing live.
Yeah, that's exactly our thoughts on that. And in terms of future plans, what do you want to, you know, what is the objective of this release in terms of, you know, reaching other places, touring other places? What are the main objectives that you guys have?
It's all fine for us. I mean, we're very happy with the record, and right now there's a lot of course, promotion going on. The video has just been released. We've been to Frankfurt Musikmesse. There's a lot going on right now, and I mean, we're just happy. We're happy when we can tour worldwide. If it was up to us, we would tour in every country of the world. Last year we've been to India also. That was a very nice experience. And I mean, it's like really a big advantage if you're playing in a band that you get to see all these countries and not like a tourist, but you're meeting people. And I think that's maybe one of the best bridges or the best things that can connect people. I mean, for example, when you are in India, I didn't understand any word what the people said, and I didn't understand most of their names, to be honest, but the connection was the music. They love the music, we love the music, and so it's really great that you can connect to other people.
And, you know, in terms of the overall perspective and kind of to wrap things up, is there, like, any message that you want to send to the people in North America that are going to be listening to this interview?
Yeah, just thank you very much for the chance for this interview. Check out our band. I hope you like it. If not, it's also fine. Yeah, just listen to good music and no stupid radio shit. Especially here in Europe, we have really bad radio programs. I think in the US it's much better.
Well,
so just to music that you really like and not like just chewing gum music that has to be spelled out after a while.